You can call in at 317-239-1009. It started on like Tuesday. We first actually brought this on air to talk about it. The house with the red door. Alex heard a story from her dad, and I guess he heard stories and just tales. And nobody has like this the exact same story. There might be similar things. It all comes down to a house with a red door. But some people say it's in a country road. Some say that it was like on the edge of the city. It was all these different things here. And it just gets creepier the more we hear about it.
Right, and that's why we keep talking about it every day. We find out more and more things. So we're just intrigued to hear all these crazy stories.
All right, let's go to Daniel this morning on the Joe and Alex Show. Have you heard about the house with the red door?
Oh, yeah. It's a legend to us. I grew up in Greenwood. It's not in Greenwood. It's just, probably about 30, 45 minutes south through the country. You could say we used to ride around in the country a lot when we were kids. So,
okay,
we took our friends down there one time. There's an area known as Crybaby Bridge. Now, the legend of Crybaby Bridge was the legend of Crybaby Bridge was that two little girls were out playing one day, and the bridge is actually a train bridge. Now, one of the little girls told the other little girl, "Well, come up here and play with me." And she said, "No." Well, she said, "Well, you're a crybaby, 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 crybaby." Finally, the other little girl got up there and played. One fell to her death. The other one got hit by a train.
Okay, that is very aggressive in the morning.
Oh, just wait. It gets better.
Oh!
So, about a mile and a half, 2 miles away from Crybaby Bridge, around a curve. Now, it's hard to see the house from the street because of the woods and everything, but if you look real closely around a 90-degree turn, about a mile and a half from Crybaby Bridge, is the house with the red door. Now, if you go up to the house with the red door and touch the door, every light in the entire house will come on. And you'll see up in one of the upstairs windows when this ghoulish, I don't even know what kind of woman, looks like she's been dead for 100 years.
No thanks. I'll pass.
Wow.
Who is going to do that and touch it and see all that stuff?
No,
I would
I'm not.
Never.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no, and I'm not going by any kind of a bridge either, anything.
Our phones are lighting up, Daniel, during your call. So I bet a lot of people have experienced what you have with the Crybaby Bridge and all that.
Oh, Crybaby Bridge is known.
Wow. Okay. Whoa. Thank you so much for calling in this morning, Daniel. We appreciate it, man. You have a good day.
Crybaby Bridge sounds like a Melanie Martinez song.
Let's talk to this.
It does, doesn't it?
I don't even know who that is.
She's a weird artist, and everything on her last album was baby inspired, like a song called Sippy Cups and all kinds of stuff.
You hear that, Melanie? There's an idea.
Let's talk to not Daniel, but Danielle's on the Joe and Alex Show. Good morning.
Morning. Not such an experience, but I have heard some weird stories that are way too cohesive. So apparently there is this serial killer that was born in Indianapolis. His name was Herb Baumeister. But he had a name that he went by that was Brian Smart. He was the oldest of four kids. He was born in Indy. He was one of those people that was just super normal. He grew up and he founded a thrift store that was called Save-A-Lot. Doesn't have to do with the Save-A-Lots we have now. There's only two of them in Indianapolis, but he got really rich from it. He was a millionaire. He had a really nice mansion house. Had a pool and everything. But there's a weird thing that happened. There's a lot of weird stuff that happened in his life, and the oldest of his three kids apparently, like, found a body at their house. And at their mansion that they lived in here in Indianapolis. And it was kind of like weirdly wiped under a rug. Like, the wife like was like, "That must have already been here." The cops, everything correlated in the reports that it was already there, that it had nothing to do with them. So it was just kind of wiped under the rug. Well, years later, apparently, Brian or Herb went to Canada in his mid-30s and committed suicide in 1996. He blamed this on, like, his failing business and his marriage, such and such. But like I was saying, he kind of like one of those weird people that everything was perfect in his life, but he had this weird vibe. And after that body was found, after he died, his wife gave police permission to come and search their mansion.
Oh, my God. Did it have a red door?
Dude, no, not this house. So they get to the mansion, and then they find a whole bunch of skeletal remains.
Ooh.
And they could confirm 11 killings. They could confirm, but there were 9 unidentified bodies there. So this whole entire, like, thing starts, but he's dead. He committed suicide, so nothing could be tied to him. But after they start this whole search, apparently they had a horse ranch that was in Westfield, Indiana. And this horse ranch, there's a little house associated with it that was out in the woods that had a little red door. And when they went and were searching after they found all these bodies in his mansion, they went and searched the ranch and found piles of remains there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so the way that this guy did stuff, like, he was named the Lust Killer, because apparently what he was doing is he targeted the gay scene in Indianapolis, and he was, like, picking up escorts, the way kind of like
Jeffrey Dahmer.
The way
How
that he
in the
did.
World have I never heard of this?
I me either. I couldn't believe it. So this was from his spree was from 1980 to 1996 when he killed himself, and so he was already in like the heart of his business and stuff.
Wild.
And he killed people by torture and strangulation.
Ooh.
And he burnt all of the bodies. That's why they only found skeletal remains. So what people would say is that if you went from the strip between Indianapolis and Columbus, Ohio, on I-70, like when you would like go through Westfield, where his ranch is, if you would go to this house with the little red door, apparently, like, you would be able to go there. And starting around like 2 in the morning, you could start smelling smoke.
Ew.
The temperature would dramatically decrease. You could hear dragging sounds in the house, and then people also said that they were locked inside, like they were locked from the inside in the house.
Okay, that is insane.
Yeah, so yeah, that's Herb Baumeister, aka Brian Smart, from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Danielle, that was an incredible addition right there to the House with the Red Door. We're learning so much. Hey, we want to hook you up today with those Indy Screen Park passes. That was a great addition to this story here that we've been hearing more and more about. Okay, hang on the line, Live the Web Girl. We'll hook you up with those Indy Screen Park passes. Thank you.
Awesome. Cool, thanks, guys.
All right, let's do one more call this morning here about the house.
No more, please.
No. I think we should. Let's go to line two. No, okay, no name. Anonymous, you're on the Joe and Alex show.
Hi, Joe and Alex.
Good morning.
So, I am a medium, which means I can talk to spirits.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've been to multiple houses and everything to, like, talk to these spirits and try to figure out what's going on and everything. I just want to put a warning out to everybody that if the house with the red door is actually as haunted as everybody's saying, you want to be careful because you can bring things home with you.
All right. You know what? Please lose our number. Don't call back.
No, this is informative.
She's
okay.
Scaring me.
So, wow, I wonder if anybody that's called in and talked about experiences where they've been in or touched or been near, like, if they picked it up. Do you know if, like, you could even just get close to it and pick something up and bring it back?
How close do you have to be?
Is it, like, Wi-Fi, like, within a certain range?
I personally, like, if I go past cemeteries, I can pick up vibes. I know there's certain houses that I know I've been past and I pick up vibes. And it's just, you got to be really, really careful.
Okay, so tell us about one of your craziest, most disturbing experiences with the passed on.
The house I just moved out of a year ago, when we just moved in, I was unpacking my things, trying to get my room clean and everything. And I felt there, like, a presence behind me. And I kind of turned around and there was nothing there. And then I felt a hand grab the back of my neck. And I go out to my living room because I freaked out. And I was like, no bueno. So I went out to my mom and I'm like, Mom, something just grabbed me. Like, I don't understand. And she looked at the back of my neck and there's a handprint.
Oh, my gosh.
We've had several people talk about stuff on the back. Who is that guy? I can't remember. That's not uncommon, though. Wow. Wow. So maybe it's demonic. Okay. Thank you, Anonymous, for calling into the Joe and Alex show this morning. We appreciate it.
I want to go home. I want my mommy.